James Brayshaw, Bill Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Round 13 of the AFL season is officially in the books.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Now, Purple, we are just going to do the positives and negatives because that's how we normally go about this segment, as we welcome you. But old Fats wandered in and said, no, I think there's news.
Well, I've got a good ear and good eye for this, Jim, and and this craft.
I don't think it, but anyway.
And it's a McKay day, to be honest. Ooh. McKay, McKay. Yes. Doesn't matter where you're from, Jim. You say Stobie Pole and we say Power Pole. But anyway.
Different. It's Harry McKay and David McKay.
Well, let's start with David McKay, who has been sent to directly to jail, to the tribunal.
Jail!
And what are we thinking here, Damo? What's happening here? Because it was a good clash, both players going hard at the footy, both players got low, as we've all been taught growing up as a kid, one gets a broken jaw.
Bill, I hear what you're saying there, but I also take the view that he knew exactly what was happening too, even at that point in contact with Hunter Clark. And in saying
how
that,
how do you mean he knew?
I think he knew what the potential impact was going to be, but that to me doesn't mean that he should be guaranteed to get the 3+ weeks that the match review office has now deemed it to be. But I think that's part of the confusion too, Bill. Just getting back to it, and sometimes you just go through the chronology of it. The match review office, Jim, as we know, refused to grade it when they sent it to the tribunal. And to me, that has added to this confusion.
Agreed.
They weren't prepared to put their own ruling on it publicly before sending it to the tribunal. I thought it was a really poor look because the match review office, Bill, is the lawmaking body within the AFL structure.
So what did he say? What did Chris O say?
Chris O himself may not have wanted it to go there. And I'm keen to see what he said. But I don't have an issue with Stephen Hocking, if it is indeed Stephen Hocking, who's pushed it through to the tribunal this way. Because he, as head of the footy operations in the AFL, I think should have a say in what he deems to be acceptable and not acceptable. So that part of the process I don't have a major issue with. But I did have a significant problem with there being no grading initially. And also to not have the responsibility to put your name and your organisation and your body to the events pertaining to McKay hitting Clark. So that was the issue I thought, Bill. Look, they've fixed it up. They're finally, 24 hours late, now put a grading on it, said it's worth 3 matches plus, and it's up to the tribunal to adjudicate. But, Jim, I think you know my views on that being the case too. You've got part-time body that is the tribunal, and then you've got high-powered either ex or still current legal people who then take it down a legal path as opposed to what the football path, you know, should be doing, that being the match review office.
Okay, so I agree with all that you've said. Are we in a position now where even if it's accidental contact, if someone gets knocked out, the other person is automatically suspended, regardless of the incident?
Yes.
Where we're at?
I think we're at that.
No, you say that, Bill, but 24 hours earlier, Jago O'Meara accidentally contacted Will Hayward of the Swans, concussed, taken out of the game, missed the next week, but there's no action taken against Jago O'Meara. Every time I think we get to a point where this is a landmark case, there's either an ignoring of another incident subsequently or a difference of opinion on a similar
incident. This is where I feel for the players, because in the future, as we all know, we live in this social media world, which none of us like, but it's just reality. If a player, Bill, jumps out of the way, he's got to live with that now for the rest of his career. He's a fraidy cat. He sleeps with the lights on.
Yeah.
So then you go, okay, well, I've actually got to, it's my turn to go, I've got to go. You accidentally rub a bloke out, you know, concuss someone in the act of going.
Spot on.
And you get suspended. I mean, how do you win?
No, it's a very interesting time because we're transiting. What are we doing?
Transitioning.
From.
A little transcending at one stage.
Transcending, transitioning, whatever it is.
No, transitioning.
Right now. So it's a difficult time for everyone because in 10 years' time we'll look back and say that was well done by the AFL and well done to everyone concerned. But right now, players, coaches got no idea or spectators got no idea really.
Yeah. So the way I look at it, this is my worry about that, Purple, right? If you then go back with the flight, the players coming forward, are we now in a position where it's like, well, they've got a duty of care, so they've got to get out of the way and allow the bloke going back free passage to the ball? Because that is against everything
you
this game's ever represented.
Or even if he takes the mark and knocks out two people in the process, which is allowed under those rules, what are we dealing with there? So, look, it is a strange one, but I don't have faith in the systems as they stand, that whatever happens on Thursday night at this tribunal hearing is going to actually be a blueprint. I'd like it to be, but I just don't think it's going to be, because history says to me that whatever's decided there will be changed either by way of opinion or a subsequent event that is adjudicated differently.
And it'll be appealed by Adelaide.
You'd think so.
And then it'll go down the legal, mate, and it goes on. All right, Harry Mackay.
Yes.
2 years. That's very good news for Carlton.
It is good news for Carlton at the outset of this review that is now going to be of a full-on capacity into the entire operations of the football department. It's a vote of faith. I mean, you could argue, Jim, that it's only 2 years and not an extended one.
It takes him to free agencies. Yeah, you understand why he did that.
Yeah, and that's what managers now do with their players, don't they? They get them three contracts, basically, from the time they've been drafted. That's usually the 6 to 7 year period, which then gets them into that free agency period. So he's still got the luxury of a massive deal coming his way elsewhere when and if that time comes.
I never heard he was leaving, by the way.
No.
There was lots of talk about it, but no one ever said to me he's on the move.
No. You're right. The Hail Marys offers went in. Yeah. Look, we assume North made the inquiry, given the brother sign,
excuse me, at North?
Ben,
I think he's just signed too.
He has. But you're right, Jim. The people I speak to in that recruiting space never ever sort of factored in the possibility of that movement, which would have then set a domino off in some direction to get the forwards into the conversations. But you're right, he was pretty clear he wanted to wait till this period. It may have been brought forward by 2 or 3 weeks, but well done to him, well done to his management, well done to the Blues for getting him to sign.
And well done to Nathan Buckley and Collingwood. What a great win that was. What's happened there? I reckon he might have got on it. I reckon he might have had a few after the big win.
You would hope so.
We'd hope so. He got to Crown City there at Sydney and just went wild. I'd love to hear some stories. You got anything, Damien?
I haven't had that, Phil.
I saw him drinking a beer
before he had his press conference. Yeah, he did. And it was old school, wasn't it, Jim? They were throwing the beers around. And I don't know why they don't do that more often anyway.
Exactly,
just one or two post-match. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what the physios and the medical people say, as in get your replenishment in. Just sometimes a beer after a game.
Yep.
Nothing
perfect.
Beats it.
Yeah. Mate, if he walked in with a slab on his shoulders, we were all going, how good is that?
Yeah.
Good on you, Nathan.
No, yep. They sent him out with style. We might get to the goods and bads in a moment about where was that in the previous 2 months, which you always ask. It doesn't matter what it is. North with Brad Scott, they storm over the top of the Western Bulldogs. You sit there going, where's this been?
Well, I'd argue it's been there for a month because they beat Adelaide the previous week as well, against the odds in Adelaide. And the 2 weeks prior to that, as we have discussed regularly, it came in an ugly fashion in the way the game was played. But a 10-point loss to Geelong is not embarrassing in 2021, nor is a 1-point loss to Port Adelaide, which happened the week prior. So his last month has been really
good. Harv's in the seat now.
Yeah, and I think they need to give some clarity to him for his benefit. Is he a chance to get the job? And look, I think they need to make that public on Harvey's behalf. Now, he may not want it made public, but either way, that conversation needs to be had internally. And according to Graham Wright, who we spoke to yesterday, Jim, didn't we, on Triple M Footy, that conversation in that form hadn't yet come. Yes, he's caretaker coach. What happens with the process now to find the new coach, whether he's part of it, well, that's yet to be discussed. So I think they need to sort that out pretty quickly, just in respect to Robert Harvey in that situation. And as for Bucks, Bill, I just don't feel he's going to be seen coaching soon.
No, I
still think the bug is going to be in his system.
A media, no doubt at media.
He's so good at it, isn't he?
He's very good at it.
Yep. So but not for a while,
you'd
I wouldn't
know.
Think.
Seven will have him signed up.
I would imagine, but not for a while. I think he'd have a couple of weeks. He'd have a couple of months off, wouldn't you?
Not a couple of months. Maybe a month.
Spend some time with your kids. Smell the roses a bit. Allow things to settle down. And maybe around the finals, you'd look at reintroducing yourself. He'll be in no hurry to do that because he doesn't have to.
No.
When he wants to, there will be offers everywhere for him because he's brilliant at it.
He'll coach again.
Do you think he will?
Yes. Down the track.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he does, Bill. And he's shown enough in the 9.5 seasons, to me anyway, that he's worthy of a serious conversation.
Completely changed, didn't he?
Yep.
See,
from when he started.
Yep.
And he had that nickname.
He did.
Fig Jam. That was it. Yeah. He had that, and that a bit arrogant or whatever you want. And then what he is now.
Yep.
I'm not sure he'll coach again.
Really?
I reckon he'll go into the media space. He'll dominate that space. He'll realise how much easier and better life is turning up and talking about footy rather than spending every little sleeping, waking minute on it. I reckon he might just get to about 3 years from now and go, why would I ever submit myself to that again?
Mm. He's a competitive animal,
Jim.
And you know that. I mean, you put North Melbourne's future in his hands there for a 2-week period when you offered him the job.
What happened there, Jim? Did he nearly take it?
Don't know.
Oh, come on.
No, well, we offered him the job, but I wouldn't know. You have to ask Ned or him. I hope he considered it very seriously.
Which he would have.
Yeah, but I think in the end he just wanted to coach Collingwood. That was his, you know, he wanted to stay there. But
well, you brought forward, effectively, the Kirribilli agreement there. That offer
well,
you gave Nathan Buckley.
Well, we didn't do it for that reason. That was, that was the spin-off effect of it.
But 6 months later, that was in place.
We spoke about this on the weekend, Damo. I love him. But I reckon it's becoming such a blood sport now, that job. I wouldn't surprise me at all if he spent a year or two out and then just looked at it and said, why would I want to go back into that again? I've now got my life back. I've got some balance. I've got my kids. I've got, you know, what I want to do outside of the season. Yeah. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And you can have 4 months of doing nothing rather than 2 weeks of doing nothing.
And Duck made the point, I think, four in that months. Same conversation, didn't he?
You're the only one that has 4 months.
I beg your pardon?
You actually have five.
I actually do the cricket, which is something you don't do. You leave the rush hour and do nothing.
You didn't do the cricket last year. We didn't have the cricket, Jim.
Channel 7 did.
We need to get to the break because the goods and bads are all in the same segment.
It's the rush hour at Triple M.
This is Damo's recovery session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Damien Barrett is in the studio to chat round 13 of Queen's Birthday Football as well.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Well done to Collingwood, by the way. Melbourne flat. Yep. That was a disappointing day for them.
Yeah, they were. We may as well start with the negatives then, Jim, in that way. They were flat. Their second loss of the season. The previous match were able to regroup at halftime, weren't they, when they were down against Brisbane Lions. We expected that to happen on Monday against Collingwood. It didn't. They looked actually ordinary, didn't they? They looked a bit like Melbourne at times in 2020, and that's a worry. Maybe, too, the way Collingwood picked its way through getting the ball inside its own 50, and Elliott was so crucial again, wasn't he? So too was Mychek, and others played a role, Murphy included. But they did work away to keep the ball away from Lever and May, didn't they?
Well, here's my take on it, Damo. I reckon Simon Goodwin's now got the bye. He can give him a nice, hefty kick in the ass. He can point out to a few of them that the first give is what we're about. Because I just noticed a bit of selfishness sneaking into a bit of what they're doing.
They've been very unselfish.
So just get it and give it to the person in best position to be able to do what we want to do. So I reckon it'd be a nice little one for him to tuck away and just go, right, get in here, you blokes.
Not the worst thing after all.
Firstly, when you go to the toilet, there might be a bit of a whiff. Because I reckon there might have been a little bit of it's not smelling when we're in there. And secondly, let's just do always what the...
Didn't know where you were going with that, Jim.
You look back at the premiership sides of recent times.
Yep.
The Richmond have won three of them. Very selfless footy played by them.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
They always do the best thing for the team on all occasions, I reckon.
Are you saying that they weren't doing that yesterday?
No, I'm 100% saying that.
Yeah, okay.
They slid back into some habits that they need to stamp out quickly.
Okay.
So I reckon Goody, that is a ripper for him because he can get him in and go, right, enough of that.
And have a look at that forward line too. They had the big three forwards, but they're not kicking many goals at all.
Well, Wiedemann's not even kicking.
No, that's
He's not even getting near the ball.
Wiedemann,
to kick it, so.
McDonald, I know, played up the ground a bit. I didn't see a lot of it.
Yeah. And Jackson's a beauty. He's as good a young kid as there is in the comp.
But that high, Jim.
Oh, mate, he's a ripper. I love him.
Yeah, I like
what he does.
We'll move on. Staying with the negatives, Bill, before we get to the positives. Richmond at 7-6, and the six losses, as we now know, have all come against the top teams inside the top eight. They've got Tom Lynch, obviously, to come back, and Nankervis as well. But they were exposed, weren't they? Mabio Chol, who we wrapped up, and we're looking forward to the matchup with Nick Natt. No, he just did not work against that calibre of opponent.
But a lot of blokes get their pants pulled down by Nick Natt.
They do. They do.
He is the toughest. He and Gorn are the two that really make you earn it.
We touched on the North before. GWS probably blew up any chance of a finals pursuit in only drawing with North Melbourne. They're 22 premiership points now, six behind Richmond, it's not going to be enough. And if they're conceding a draw against a team like North Melbourne, I would think that's enough to suggest they're not good enough to make it.
I didn't see any of that game, but the question will be for Leon Cameron. How the hell do you get six goals down against the worst team in the comp?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see it. I don't know how it happened, but that would be where he'd be asking his first question.
Just lost structure in that third quarter. And it was credit to North, who we've been critical of. That they got
five goals down.
But then how do you lose that when you're up?
28 points at three quarters. Sydney equally missed an opportunity too, obviously losing its match to leave at 8-5. That was a loss to Hawthorn, obviously. Out of the break, Bill, how many are you giving them in this quartet of matches? Port Adelaide, West Coast, Western Bulldogs, and then GWS.
One.
One, okay, yeah. So, look, history will say they might get, they might scrounge two, but yeah, they're not going to get all four, are they? And that, that loss will become problematic.
Yeah,
it will. Onto the positives. The big winner to me was West Coast, because I had the previous week against Carlton when they had they were without six of their best players, they then lost Shepherd. Courageous win. It's no coincidence that Elliot Yeo, now back for 3 weeks, has been crucial to what they've been about. And we mentioned Nick Natanui a minute ago.
But I'll give you one.
And you called it. And let's just revisit the
Hutton's golden, golden
Bill's taking
goal
back
of the day
60s.
Award.
Have not been in front since the 12-minute mark of the second quarter. What's the champ got? He bends it. He bends it. He bends it through. West Coast at the front.
What about the noise?
Oh. Yeah.
That joint is nuts.
Someone said they were there, and that's the biggest noise ever.
Really?
It's
incredible.
Yeah. Ever at Perth Stadium.
Of a stadium that's had lots of noises in a positive way before. So, yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And he's a beauty. We said this yesterday, Purple. He's a beauty, JK. And you just hope a still photographer got a shot of that when he turned to the crowd. And behind him, it was just pandemonium. Yep. It would be straight over the bar, Purple.
Yep.
You know I'm not big on sport photos in people's houses, but if Big Josh wants to lob that over his bar, he can look at that forever. It was a wonderful moment.
It was a great kick too, wasn't it? I thought he hit it too narrow, so to speak, but it just held its line, didn't it?
It actually curled around the post, right around it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good call.
And with players the calibre of McGovern, Shepherd, Kelly and Shuey Bill to come back in, if they can make maintain that, that level of endeavour now, I'm prepared to remove that fragile nature that I think I felt they had until that Carlton game 2 weeks ago.
So top they've four. Got good Optus Stadium access back end of the year too.
They do. Adelaide's have been a really good positive story out of the whole year. They're going to not figure near the eight, but they're coming to play, aren't they, to use that footy vernacular. And it was good, Bill, to see your man Phil Thorpe have two
Raleigh.
Shots at goal. One he missed totally and one he then nailed quite miraculously over the head with his wrong foot. But when you've got a kid in his eighth game of footy, prepared to want the ball in those moments, and then not just that, but then take and seize the moment as he did, it's pretty special stuff.
NAB Rising Star, we had him on the Sunday Footy Show, and he's British, the Phil Thorpe, Jim.
Know what it is?
We had to ask him what Phil Thorpe was.
You know, he also said that Bill's the only person who's fascinated by his name. Yeah.
No one
is.
It's
just a name.
It's a strange name.
It's his name.
What about the free kick he got with the defender trying to spoil him, which a defender is supposed to do, and the umpire goes, no, mate, you're trying to spoil him from taking the mark. The defender should have spun around and said, mate, that's my job. That is my job. That wasn't a free kick. But you're right. He had the shot on goal 2 minutes to go, kicks a drop punt, which he said he shouldn't have.
He said he should have taken the across-the-body option. Which was a good concession on the Sunday. Hey, he spoke really well, didn't he?
He did.
You see why they went with him at number two last year.
I know we're throwing good and bad around.
Yeah.
St Kilda Purple, was it 3 weeks ago, when Brett Ratten, who I love, in a presser, just started to get a bit prickly and a bit smarty pants. Yep. I looked at it and I went, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Because it just showed that they were starting to get, the wrong things were starting to permeate through at that joint. And since then, they've been horrific.
They have, Jim. And it was before the Sydney Swans game, which was the one where Higgins ended up kicking 1-6 and King didn't get near it again. And going into the game, he said, we've still got 5 wins to our name here. We're not one win. And, well, they haven't added to the 5, as you know.
They got the same wins as Adelaide.
Yeah, well, there you go. And they're coming off a finals win last year, going into this year, where deep in their thought processes, they were thinking as big a picture as you can get in 2021. Not happening now.
Absolutely.
We don't want to touch on GWS as a positive, but I do want to touch on Josh Kelly as a positive. He's putting together arguably his best season of footy. If it's not as good as 2017 when he broke out and came into All-Australian and was wanted, and North, Jim, are starting to very confidently just talk amongst themselves.
They're getting back again.
Yeah, well, they're very confident, as you know, 3-4 years ago when they thought they had him and they didn't get him.
I think he was in the boat. They landed him in the boat and he jumped out.
He jumped out.
Yeah.
Didn't gaff him.
Didn't gaff him.
That actually means. So then he jumped out of the boat.
Well, I had
him in the boat.
Reeled
in the
him
bucket.
In, he jumped in.
In the bucket.
Didn't gaff him.
Let it gaff
you. And then
so
he jumped
in
out.
The bucket. The hook out of the mouth and put him in the bucket and then he jumped out.
It's too big for a bucket.
Right,
he was on there just the floor, the deck. He was on there bouncing around and then he slipped out again. So you're going to get him.
Where is he now? Is he on the hook?
He's down there.
The lure?
He can see the nice worm, the North Melbourne worm there, and he just whatever.
Speaking of which, did you read the story? We're changing tack here. Did you read the story about the scuba diver got eaten by a whale and sped out again?
No,
did
he didn't.
You read that?
Yeah. I'm not totally believing it, Jim.
I'm not believing one bit of it.
He reckons he was inside the whale's guts and then got spat out again. Oh, no.
Come on, Bill. Give us a spell.
It's got a few holes, that story.
Oh, lots of holes.
How big's a spurter? The hole?
No, it didn't come out of the hole.
Oh.
It went into his guts.
I thought he spurred him out. No, he had a really good ride.
Didn't get him out of the hole.
They have found scuba divers. This is not funny or anything, Jim.
Michael Packard is the guy's name.
Yeah, that's it.
Come on, Packard.
Where was it, in the US somewhere?
Cape Cod.
So he reckons he went into the whale.
He got swallowed and then spat out.
Look at Bill.
Swallowed or just he closed his mouth, Jim?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
There's a difference.
All of the above, Purple.
When he opened his mouth again, he went back.
One of those ones where you just don't know.
Mr. Packard was in the whale's gullet for nearly a minute before being coughed back up.
Coughed. I thought he'd come out the hole.
I'm going to put a man out of the hole.
Now,
spout.
They've found scuba dead people in scuba diving gear in paddocks, Jim.
Yeah, but that's
paddocks?
Apocryphal.
Because you know what happens. There are airplanes that are fighting fires, bushfires. They scoop them up.
That's apocryphal.
They scoop them up.
Oh. That's like
an
urban myth.
And then they go to bloody
it's
let them go.
That's an urban myth.
Didn't you know someone, Jim, who had a... An incident with a shark?
Yeah, my son reckons he got bitten by a shark. Yeah, that's what he reckons. And then he got this sort of slice on the bottom of his foot. I said, that's called a reef. That's not a shark. That's just stepping on a reef.
Oh, I thought you knew someone who came to an unfortunate outcome.
No, but then Greg Anderson, remember that? He reckons he got bitten by Lots of people reckon they got bitten by a shark. But Bill, come on.
I've never heard someone.
That's an aggressive salmon.
Paddock, though, Bill.
In the paddock in their scuba diving gear. Oh,
anyway, so the buses.
We're going to send it to that bloke in the whale.
Yeah,
now, it's still going to stay at Carlton, even with Harry Mackay re-signing and a bit of positivity around it. We're just going to leave that one there. And that one that we sent to Moorabbin last week is well and truly being activated too.
Did you say anything about Geelong at all? Positive?
Well, I had them listed down there, but we started talking about whales and eating men. But it was Thursday.
That's last round.
What I said was scary
part
good.
Part of the round.
Scary good. Scary for the entire competition, what they're doing
what
right now.
What kind of whale was it? A sperm whale?
It was a humpback.
Humpback. Oh.
I did say that earlier.
But anyway, Bill thought he came out of the spout.
Yes. And having a great little ride up the top there.
Come on. We've lost our way. Damo's recovery session.